Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's just a brief break. We still have a wet weekend in store. I'll show you what time to expect rain later today and all through the weekend.
Plus this morning, two men charged with murder asked the judge to lower their bond. One of the men admits to pulling the trigger, his reason, and the judge's response to their request.
Also, glimmers of hope at the site of the deadly earthquakes in Syria and Turkey. International aid workers find more people alive beneath mountains of rubble.
It's a messy weekend in our forecast. It won't be a total washout, though. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It's finally Super Bowl weekend, and people may be celebrating Valentine's Day early. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to show us the timeline for the weekend rain to help people plan. Elizabeth.
Like you said, it's not going to be a total washout, but Sunday looks like the day that will bring us potentially the most rain. Take a live look at Chapel Hill right now, looking absolutely beautiful. We've got sunshine. Our wind is still coming out of the south, so we have a very warm day. As a matter of fact, we'll likely climb back up into the low 70s just in the next few hours. We take a quick look at dual Doppler 5000 radar. Nothing showing up right now, but we did have a few showers earlier this morning. We take a look at Futurecast, and you can see some clearing there, a few breaks in the clouds anyway between now and 3 p.m. And then we start to see that next band of rain moving in. That's likely to approach the viewing area close to the evening commute and roll through here during the evening through dinner hour. And then it begins to taper off after dinner hour. We still could see a few isolated showers overnight with a few lingering into first thing tomorrow morning. There's Saturday at 8 a.m. And then those showers move out and the bulk of Saturday during the day stays dry. Then we see more rain rolling through about the same timeline. We'll start to see that moving in right about 5 or 6 p.m. right around dinner time. And that continues Saturday night into Sunday. So we're going to walk through Sunday and I'll show you how much rain we could see out of all of this coming up in just a little bit. You can push it all the way out Saturday, all the way out through 8 p.m. It's going to be a wet night Saturday. This is a look at tonight. We'll see an increasing chance for rain this evening and overnight, and then it starts to taper off closer to midnight, but there could be a few lingering showers still tomorrow morning. Check out these temperatures. It's 71 now in Durham and Raleigh, 73 in Fayetteville, 67 in South Hill. Good bit of sunshine out there helping to bump up those temperatures, but we are likely to cool back down into the 50s tonight, and it will be much cooler through the weekend. I'll show you the temperatures coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. A mother accused of concealing her dead child in a suitcase appeared in court today. Police made the discovery earlier this week at a home in Roanoke Rapids. WRAL's Adam Owens is at the Halifax County Courthouse where his mother made that court appearance. Adam.
That's right. Cameras were not allowed in court earlier today, but I was able to sit in on that appearance. Renee Sinkel Davis appeared in front of the judge via a monitor, a video monitor, as she was sitting in jail. She had very little to say in court, only giving very short answers to the judge's questions. She's charged with concealing the death of a child. It was earlier this week WRAL reported that police responded to a call to check on the well-being of a child at a home on Franklin Street in Roanoke Rapids. Police say they found a three-month-old baby boy dead, wrapped in a blanket, placed in a suitcase that was inside a closet. Police believe the boy had been dead for around 12 hours. They say the mother was aware the child was dead but did not call for help. Davis is charged with felony concealment of the death of a child. It's important to point out that Davis is not charged with murder. At the moment, authorities are waiting to learn the child's official cause of death from an autopsy. Police say more charges could be filed in the future. Davis remains in jail. We are told her next court appearance will be later this month. Renee.
Adam Owens, live in Halifax County.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, the death toll from the deadly earthquake in Turkey and Syria continues to climb this afternoon. It now stands at 22,772. At least 83,000 people were injured because of this. Turkey's president says over 141,000 rescue personnel are working in Turkey around the clock. There has been millions of dollars in aid sent to the countries from countries all over the world. There is still hope of finding survivors. They continue to pull people from the rubble at this hour.
Michelle, thanks. And as aid workers continue to race against time to save those people trapped by the earthquake rubble, NBC's Matt Bradley was there as rescuers pulled a man alive from the debris.
Today, Turkish rescue workers still making miracles. More survivors rescued after being trapped for almost 100 hours. Including, incredibly, a 10-day-old baby and his mother. As shivering Turks and Syrians awake from their fourth freezing night. The twin earthquakes left hundreds of thousands homeless. Now, they're sleeping rough in cars, makeshift shelters, and on the streets. The World Health Organization now warning of a secondary disaster from cold and disease. More than 50 countries pledging aid to help the disaster's victims, including the U.S.
So the Americans just got here. They're from Fairfax County in Virginia. They're looking for someone who might be alive, and they're using a dog. This is actually the first time that I've seen a dog being used in a search here in Turkey. I've been here for 3 days.
This is Vader, as in Darth Vader.
What are you guys expecting to see here?
We're going to run the dog over to look for anybody that's still possibly alive.
Yeah.
I guess they had actually verbal communication with somebody last night.
Vader gets a positive hit, the scent of a survivor.
It's very well trained, knows what to look for. And if it responds to the trainer, then the handler, then they know that there is a possible proof of life. And so they'll mark that down as a positive hit.
And the dog can distinguish between a dead body and a living person.
Yeah, that's right.
With signs of a survivor, the USAID team calls in reinforcements.
What they're doing right now is actually putting out a listening device that will help them hear underneath the rubble to see if they can hear anything from anybody who might be down there.
It's going to be hard with all this.
Right? It will be very difficult. I mean, it's a chaotic situation.
And then we witness the impossible. Turkish rescue workers managed to recover a living victim.
This is extraordinary. You can see what looks like a middle-aged man being pulled out of this wreckage. He's survived underneath this for 3.5 days.
An ordinary man who's accomplished an extraordinary feat of endurance simply by surviving.
And we hope they keep finding more. We do have several traffic alerts to tell you about this lunch hour. Let's get over to WRL's Brian Schrader to show us the trouble spots.
Renee, let's start in Wake County, where we have some construction-related delays right now on U.S. 1 northbound with some backups, pretty heavy backups, from the 1010 road area in Apex up to 64 and Tryon Road in Cary. On that northbound side of U.S. 1, try to pick it up from 64 Tryon Road to get on the other side of those delays. Also in Cumberland County this afternoon, we have a crash on 95 northbound right around Wade Stedman Road and the 295 interchange. It's all over on the shoulder, but we're still seeing some heavy delays on the northbound side of 95. Use 301 to Wade Stedman Road as a good alternate route from Fayetteville. That'll take you up to 95, and on the other side of those backups, that should save you about 6 minutes.
Thanks for that, Brian. Governor Roy Cooper is visiting the White House today, and he's meeting with President Biden as part of the National Governors Association winter meetings underway in D.C. Governor Cooper spoke there yesterday as part of the public portion of the meeting. Today, governors from all across the country will speak with President Biden and Vice President Harris about opportunities for states to invest in infrastructure, manufacturing, and other key priorities. Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman says the investigation into campaign ads involving Attorney General Josh Stein is over. The case was tied to a 2020 campaign ad against Republican Jim O'Neill. The DA was investigating whether a commercial criticizing O'Neill broke a 1931 law making certain political speech unlawful. Earlier this week, a federal appeals court ruled in Stein's favor, saying the obscure statute is likely unconstitutional.
The $5 million bond for the two men charged with killing Hamilton Woods Jr. will stay the same. Gavin Miller and Dylan Piper had a hearing in Franklin County Court this morning. WRL's Monica Casey was there. And Monica, what else did you learn in court?
Well, we now know which of those two men pulled the trigger. Gavin Miller's attorney argues this was a case of self-defense. He says his client fired the gun after Woods punched him. The special prosecutor pushed back on that, pointing out Woods' autopsy shows he was shot in the chest from several feet away. Dylan Piper's attorney argued that he shouldn't be punished for having his gun in his car. But the prosecutor argues Piper told Miller the gun was there, quote, in if they needed it. Now, both of the men were escorted by Franklin County Sheriff's deputies out to patrol vehicles after the hearing. Woods' family is feeling relieved.
Anticipating that it was likely that the bond would be reduced. We prayed. We have joined together in prayer and hoping that it would not be. And we came out today. We're very, very pleased with the court's decision to not reduce the bond.
Woods' family attorney has raised concerns about a social media post involving the two suspects, a woman who was allegedly with them, and another man. The caption of that photo references the KKK, and they've asked the FBI to get involved. The attorney tells me they have not heard back on that request, but the Franklin County Sheriff's Office tells WREL they are actively investigating that post. Renee?
Monica Casey reporting live from Franklin County. Thanks, Monica.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, the FBI is currently at former Vice President Mike Pence's home. They are conducting a search right now. Pence is currently on the West Coast with his family. A private attorney for Pence is at his house while this search is underway. Back in January, a lawyer for Pence found about a dozen documents marked as classified at the former vice president's home. Representatives with Pence say they have been in talks with the Justice Department over the searches and have expressed that they want to fully cooperate with this.
Let's take a look at stocks this noon. As you see, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is in positive territory right now, up 46 points. But the S&P 500 is headed towards its worst week since December right now. It is down marginally, just 8 points at this point. NASDAQ's taking the biggest hit right now, down 144.
Parents, get ready to find some major deals on anything you need for your children. Starting in less than an hour, doors will open for the Kids Exchange Consignment Sale, and admission is free. The sale is happening at the State Fairgrounds in the Jim Graham and Expo buildings. It is believed to be the largest kids consignment sale in the nation. The last sale had more than 500 tables. You can find everything from new toys to clothes to baby products. It continues through the weekend, and on Sunday, prices are half off.
Next at noon, February is American Heart Month, and a Duke cardiologist weighs in on awareness and the one thing people can learn to help save lives.
Also, Chick-fil-A's new sandwich is not chicken at all. What sets the sandwich apart?
Plus, a release of body cam footage of a man who died in Raleigh police custody is about to be released. What we expect to find in it.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
According to the American Heart Association, about 90% of people who suffer out-of-hospital cardiac arrests die. February is American Heart Month, and the American Heart Association sheds light on the importance of knowing hands-only CPR. This year's Heart Month urges people to be the beat it takes to keep someone alive by learning two simple steps it takes to save a life. Joining us to talk about the campaign is Duke cardiologist Dr. Manesh Patel. Certainly appreciate you with this very important initiative here, shedding awareness as it is American Heart Month. That Be the Beat, this year's focus. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And you can imagine that it's really a focus of all of us, but certainly the American Heart Association's really helped lead this to Be the Beat, to hopefully for someone you love by learning CPR. And, you know, what we know is that sudden cardiac arrest is the leading cause of death in about 350,000 people have an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest in the United States. And some of these, about 70% of these are happening in the home. And so the Be the Beat, as you can see on the slides in the view right now, is a campaign by which people can go online and learn two simple steps, calling 911 and then pushing hard and fast to try to make sure perfusion and blood flow is going to everyone when they're doing CPR.
And with those hundreds of thousands that you outlined there, 350,000, it's a huge number, a lot of importance put on this annually in the United States. What exactly is sudden cardiac arrest?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and it got a lot of insight. As we know, Damar Hamlin's working with the American Heart Association, and he had this arrest on the Monday night football game. Sudden cardiac arrest is any time, all of a sudden, people can have an arrest where the heart goes into a dangerous rhythm and stops perfusing or getting blood flow to their brain and the rest of their body. This often leads to this arrest. And without doing CPR or getting a defibrillator, electricity to that patient as fast as possible, we can't start to save lives. And so the American Heart Association has the chain of survival, the first step, Be the Beat, call 911 and start to do CPR. And the idea is that we can start to help people who have this. Now, the causes of sudden cardiac arrest are varied, but many of them include things like heart attacks or abnormalities in people's heart function that can lead to that.
So these are emergency situations. We can't all have a team of doctors around us like Hamlin had on the field there. So those first steps are so important. The hands-only CPR, so important. These are life-saving steps that folks can do.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people are worried about it. It's scary when someone goes down. It takes a little bit of courage if you're in public or other things to start doing this. What we know is that both with the Good Samaritan laws and others, we know that unfortunately some of our underserved patients, people from diverse backgrounds, women, minorities, don't get CPR at the same rates. And so we know not only is it really life-saving, it's important for us all to feel comfortable to start to try to do this for our community.
Yeah, certainly that comfort. We need to get rid of that stigma and just save lives. So Dr. Manesh Patel, thank you so much for shedding more light on this. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
Later today and certainly this weekend, you'll need your umbrella. And by the way, today is National Umbrella Day. The trusty tool has been keeping people dry since early civilization. The ancient Greeks and Romans used the umbrella to take cover from the rain and sun. Some of the earliest umbrella shops opened in London in the 1800s. And if we're lucky, we will hear Rihanna belt out her catchy tune, Umbrella, during Sunday's Super Bowl halftime show. And Sunday is when we're really going to see the rain coming down here in the Triangle. Jeff.
And Elizabeth Gardner over there in the WRS Severe Weather Center with the outline of just that.
Yeah, take a look. Here's the current situation. We have a front that moved through this morning and brought us just a few light showers. That front has now moved to the coast. And oftentimes, you know, it would just move on out of here and we would see clearing and settle into maybe a drier pattern. But that's not going to happen this time. Instead, that front's going to hang out on the coast of North Carolina. I mean, I can't blame it, right? But we do have a low that will develop along the front and move in, bringing us some rain this evening up until early Saturday morning. Then we'll see another break. And then Saturday night, another one will develop and move along the front. That one's going to have a little bit more moisture and a little bit more potency to it and stick around for a good bit longer. But this is a look at where we're sitting right now. Take another look at Futurecast. We're going to see variably cloudy skies for the next few hours. Getting closer to the evening commute, we'll see a round of rain that pushes in. That round of rain will start to slide south and east. And by 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, there could be a lingering shower. But for the most part, it's still on its way out. We'll be dry, most likely at lunchtime. And then almost a repeat, almost exactly the same time. Around 5 o'clock, we start to see more rain approaching from the south and west. But this time, it's likely to continue all Saturday night. And at this point, our wind is coming out of the north-northeast, so it's getting chilly. Temperatures will only be in the 40s. We've been spoiled the last several days with some very warm temperatures. That changes dramatically for us, really starting tomorrow, but we'll feel it, especially on Sunday. Notice the pink color, so the potential for some wintry precipitation to our west. If on Sunday you were planning to head past Winston-Salem toward the mountains, you're going to run into some snow. In the lower elevations, it could be 1 to 3 inches, say around Boone, Blowing Rock, but up around the ski resorts and, you know, up around Grandfather Mountain, it could be 6+ inches on Sunday. So they're going to get a good little dose of snow. After that, we just continue to see the waves of rain moving through on Sunday and gradually tapering off Sunday night. Here's a look at some of the temperatures. Again, looking at 72 for us this afternoon. We're already at 71. Much cooler, good 20 degrees cooler on Saturday in the 50s. And then 40s for Sunday. Sunday's just going to be really just a miserable day. It's not miserable out there right now. This is a look at Pinehurst, and you can see folks out there on the putting green, 71 degrees. I can't blame them. It's lovely out there. Our temperatures will start to fall through the 60s this evening, but it doesn't really turn chilly until tomorrow morning. Our current temperature is 64 in Roxboro, 72 in Goldsboro, 68 in Southern Pines. And again, we may add a degree or two to that later on this afternoon. It's going to be a chilly and wet Super Bowl Sunday, but after that, we start to dry things out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and it looks nice for Valentine's Day, 62 degrees. That is almost 10 degrees above normal. It's kind of hard to keep track when you go from 72 on a Friday to 47 on Sunday. What is normal? Mid-50s are still normal for this time of year, and we're going to bounce back up to 74 potentially on Thursday. We're going to go over more detail of what happens for us on Sunday and talk about how much rain will total up by the time this all moves out. Coming up.
Apparently, temperatures all over the place is normal for us this time of year.
It is.
Elizabeth, thank you. As Raleigh continues to grow, the city is putting more than $1 million towards mitigating the negative impacts of development. Tonight at 6, WRL's Matt Tallhelm explains how the money will be used to help fight gentrification and support small business.
And Super Bowl Sunday is the biggest sports betting day in the United States, but legal betting options are limited in North Carolina. Tonight at 5, we'll show you how some people are skirting the lines by taking a ride across the border just to place their bets. And still ahead this noon, a jersey worn by Kobe Bryant during his only MVP season rakes in big bucks. The record amount a fan paid for his gear later.
And we're almost to Super Bowl 57. We'll share the safety protocols NFL officials have in place to prevent athletes from getting injured during the big game. Welcome back. Here's a beautiful look at Beaufort there. It just looks so nice. Still warm out there, and then our temperatures are going to take a tumble. Chick-fil-A's new sandwich is lacking one thing, and Bed Bath & Beyond is closing more stores as it tries to avoid bankruptcy. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Bed Bath & Beyond is shrinking yet again as it looks to cut costs and avoid bankruptcy. The retailer is closing nearly 150 more locations. This wave of store closings comes after the chain received a cash infusion to help it avoid filing for bankruptcy. Bed Bath & Beyond has fewer than 1,000 stores now, and it's looking to get down to about 360. At its peak in 2017, it had more than 1,500. Safety officials are warning about the risk of injury from two baby trend strollers sold at major retailers like Walmart and Amazon. The warning covers baby trend sit and stand double stroller and its ultra stroller. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says children could be at risk of having their head or neck entrapped in the models. That's if they're not properly strapped in or if the child climbs on the exterior of the stroller. The CPSC issued the warning after baby trend received a report of the asphyxiation death of a 14-month-old child. More details are out on the long-awaited electric pickup from Ram. The truck will be called the Ram 1500 EV. Stellantis also released images of the truck showing Ram displayed on the grill while REV is seen on the hood of the vehicle. Production is set to begin next year, and more information on the Ram 1500 EV is expected Sunday. There's also an ad in the Super Bowl highlighting the Ram brand. Look for it at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Chick-fil-A's newest sandwich has no chicken in it. What it does have is cauliflower. It's the chain's first plant-based offering. The cauliflower sandwich is being tested in a few cities next week. Chick-fil-A says it uses a tender fillet cut of cauliflower, marinated and breaded in its seasoning. The chain says customers have wanted a plant-based menu item. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber, the NASDAQ Market Site.
Ever wanted to try out an electric car without committing to buying it? Hyundai is looking to make that a reality with an EV subscription service. The program is called Evolve Plus. It allows you to try out several EVs on a month-to-month contract. You have to pay $300 to sign up, be older than 25, have a clean driving record, and a credit score above 650. On top of that, you're limited to driving 1,000 miles a month if you want to avoid extra fees. Another round of layoffs announced by a major company. Yahoo plans to cut 20% of its workforce by the end of the year. 1,000 positions were eliminated this week. The company has close to 8,000 employees at this time. Yahoo says the layoffs are part of the company's effort to streamline operations in its advertising unit.
The MVP jersey worn by Kobe Bryant sold at auction for nearly $6 million. Bryant wore the jersey in 25 games over the course of the 2007-08 NBA season. The sale price sets a new record for any piece of Kobe Bryant sports memorabilia, and it's the second most valuable basketball jersey ever sold at auction. A Michael Jordan 1998 NBA Finals jersey sold for $10.1 million in September of 2022. In about 30 minutes, we expect to receive the body cam video from the moments leading up to Daryl Williams' death while in Raleigh police custody. We'll explain how we got to this point.
Plus, the private space agency owned by Jeff Bezos wins a new NASA contract. The interplanetary mission in the works for 2024. And here are your winning lottery numbers on the screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
This week, a judge approved the release of body camera video regarding the in-custody death of 32-year-old Daryl Williams. This happened last month.
And we've learned that it will be after 1 o'clock that we can expect body camera video from Raleigh police to paint a clear picture of what happened and if excessive force was used. WRL's Chelsea Donovan has been following this case over the past month and joins us now with what she's learned. Chelsea.
Now, Darrell Williams was shocked 3 times by a taser in the early morning hours of January 17th after police say he resisted arrest and ran into the woods. And we expect that this body camera should be released anytime this afternoon. The family did view it yesterday, and we expect that it will show an encounter and struggle between Williams and Raleigh police officers. Now, officers approached Williams while conducting what they call proactive patrols near the Supreme Sweepstakes. That's on Rock Quarry Road. At that time, they noticed drugs and alcohol in Williams' car. Their investigation prompted an arrest, but police say Williams became combative. One officer deployed their taser on him, but he got up and continued to run, according to Raleigh Police Department's 5-day report that was released after his death. Then another officer used a taser on Williams twice, on the side of his body and then hitting him in the back. That was in drive stun mode, which is direct contact with Williams' skin. Williams told officers he had heart problems before he was shocked a third time. Officers tried life-saving measures, but Williams was pronounced dead around 3 a.m. at a hospital. Now, 6 officers from the Raleigh Police Department are on administrative leave after the death of Williams. The FBI is conducting an investigation, as well as Raleigh Police. They're conducting an internal investigation. Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman will also review this body camera footage to see if any charges will be filed against those officers involved. We'll continue to keep you posted as soon as we know that it's released. Back to you, Renee.
Chelsea Donovan reporting live in Raleigh. Chelsea, thank you.
Durham County deputies are looking for a second suspect in a road rage shooting. Deputies say Tiffany Carr was a passenger in the white Audi in this video. The driver of the Audi, Ira Thorpe, fired several shots at another car after the two vehicles were in a minor crash. Surveillance camera video captured the encounter at the Handy Hugo's off Highway 70 near Pleasant Drive. If you have any information about this shootout, call the Durham County Sheriff's Office. A ceremony today will honor 3 local college students who were murdered 8 years ago. Dia Barakat, his wife Yusur Abu Salah, and her sister Roseanne were shot and killed in a shooting at their home in Chapel Hill in 2015. Craig Hicks is serving 3 life sentences for the killings. Prosecutors say he was motivated by a hatred of Muslims. Today, the Lighthouse Project is holding its Day of Light Awards ceremony. It takes place at the Herbert C. Young Community Center in Cary from 6 to 8:30 p.m.
Parents and school leaders in Durham are expressing their frustration and calling for answers after a shooting near Hillside High School that left a 17-year-old student dead. Frustrations boiled over during a school board meeting last night following the shooting, which left another teen hurt. The shooting happened along the American Tobacco Trail on Wednesday. School board members expressed grief over the situation.
Our students should not have to deal with this type of grief. Our families in that community, our educators shouldn't have to deal with that type of grief.
There is a solution to the problem, but if we're not talking to our children, we're not going to get that solution because we as adults do not really know what they need.
Police have not revealed why the teens were on the trail during the school day, what led to the shooting, who shot them, or the names of those who were shot.
People in Durham may notice a slight change in taste or scent of their tap water by the end of the month. The city's water treatment department will perform a temporary water disinfection process to ensure the entire system remains clean. The annual treatment is federal and state mandated and performed each year during the spring. Officials say the changeover will not affect the safety of drinking water. The process will begin on Friday, February 24th, and continue through Monday, April 10th.
Blue Origin, the rocket company founded by Amazon's Jeff Bezos, is headed to Mars. NASA announced it chose Blue Origin's newest rocket to send 2 twin spacecraft into orbit around the red planet. The two will study Mars' magnetosphere to understand how it interacts with solar wind. The contract is a big deal for Blue Origin, which has so far only carried out flights inside of Earth's orbit. The target launch date is sometime late next year. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, SpaceX is taking a big step forward in its goal of putting astronauts on the moon. New video shows the company successfully completing an engine firing test in South Texas. 31 out of 33 of those engines held up, which SpaceX CEO Elon Musk says is enough to send a ship into orbit. NASA is counting on the company to land astronauts on the moon in a few years. Its first orbital test flight could take place as early as next month.
The Super Bowl is fun to watch. Unless a player gets hurt, then it takes a turn. The game plan to both screen and treat injuries during football's biggest night.
And liquor before beer has never been more true. Why producers of spirits have new bragging rights. Be sure to download the WRL News app to watch WRL News live anytime while on the go. We'll be right back.
Boy, still a good bet at Lake Gaston right now. There is some cloud coverage right there, but it is warm and delightful out there right now. As you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Football's biggest night isn't just about high-stakes competition. It's also about safety. Jackie Bañez takes a look at how NFL's medical officials are preparing to keep athletes out of harm's way during Super Bowl 57, as well as what resources are available on and off the field to treat any potential injuries.
While sports are supposed to be fun, officials for the National Football League say preventing injuries is one of their top concerns.
We don't believe there's a finish line for improving safety.
Ahead of Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona, fans are getting a close-up look at the resources inside State Farm Stadium that doctors and staff have on hand to evaluate and treat athletes during Sunday's big game.
We've got better materials.
NFL Chief Medical Officer Alan Sills says cameras are in place and ready to monitor players for serious impacts.
We've made great strides in the area of concussion. Now we've got technology to actually be able to quantify that. We can count how many helmet impacts for every player. We'll be sharing that information with coaches, with players, teams, so that we can act against it.
Special pop-up tents are also available for doctors to privately screen players on the field.
Obviously, the stadium can be very visually distracting. Being inside here allows us to get a better exam.
But it's not just hits to the head worrying officials. Last month, Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest after tackling Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins.
All our medical staffs have trained and prepared for exactly that moment.
Defibrillators like the one used to save Hamlin are located all around the stadium.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. Super Bowl 57 is Sunday. You can watch it on Fox 50. Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles from Glendale, Arizona. Kickoff is at 6:30. Pregame festivities start at 11 a.m.
For the first time, Americans overall seem to prefer spirits over beer. Last year, liquor surpassed beer in U.S. market share. That has never happened before. Spirits shares reached 42.1%, with beer falling just behind at 41.9%. Industry experts say a resurgence in cocktail culture is behind the liquor sale boost.
Happening now in the WRAL Life Center, we are following reports of a house fire in Durham. We do have a crew on the scene. This is a live look. This all happening in the 600 block of Dunbar Street. This is near North Carolina Central University. You can see a couple of first responders on the scene there. Right now, it's unclear of any injuries or how this fire started. We do have the crew there. We're going to work to get more information, and we'll bring it to you live as soon as we get it.
Thanks, Michelle. A center that supports and provides programming for people with Down syndrome is preparing for a big move this weekend. The new space that will allow the organization to serve more families.
Plus, an owl is ruffling some feathers at a college near Atlanta. Why some are ready for the raptor to leave its perch. One local group's mission is to change the way the world views Down syndrome, and it's made a tremendous impact here in the Triangle. Now, Gigi's Playhouse is moving to a bigger facility to help even more families. Joining us now to talk about the grand opening celebration is the executive director of Gigi's Playhouse, Jeannie Hoffman. Jeannie, congratulations. What a milestone. Thanks so much for joining us to talk about
this.
Thank you, Brittany. Yeah, the big grand opening is Sunday. So tell us about the new facility, where it is, and the advantages of this new space.
Yes. Well, thank you for having us and sharing our mission. As Renee said, we are moving to our new location. So it's 370 South Walker Street Unit 122. It is part of the Walker Building on the corner of Walnut and Walker Street, and right next door to the $70 million park that's being built right here in downtown Cary. We're very excited. As Renee mentioned, we are expanding. We're in a much bigger facility, which has includes a bigger programming area, as well as a learning teaching kitchen and a new gym. And we have four additional learning labs. So these pictures are just FYI of our old space, but we'll be showing our new space.
With a kitchen and new learning labs and a gym. Now, Gigi's Playhouse started 6.5 years ago. You've served nearly 1,000 families. What has that journey been like, and what are you most proud of?
It has been an amazing journey. I will tell you, if you would have told me we'd be where we are today, I would have never believed it. The impact that we've made in the community has been amazing. The impact of our families, but really it's been the community and the acceptance of our community. And we're so excited about our new location because of the exposure we'll have.
So with this new location, talk about maybe some of the new events or more programming that you'll be offering.
Yep, we have already been in contact with the Downtown Cary Park in regards to having programs together at the park. And again, about community inclusion, as well as we had a couple of our participants go around and meet some of our new neighbors and invite them to our grand opening. And as you said, it's about right. Our next door neighbor is Howdy Ice Cream, and they employ actually six of our participants, and they are opening this Saturday. So it's all about collaboration and bringing this to our community.
And bringing that community together. So wonderful. Jeannie Hoffman with Gigi's Playhouse. Congratulations on the new space and looking forward to all that you guys have to offer. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Renee.
Just a bonus few hours of sunshine dipping in and out right now before we head to the weekend and some of that rain coming in. Elizabeth Gardner of the WRL Severe Weather Center.
It's a treat out there again today. Our temperatures are nice and warm. We've climbed into the low 70s in some spots, and looking at all this sunshine, Goldsboro looking beautiful. Apex, Chapel Hill, Durham, all seeing at least partly cloudy skies right now. Chapel Hill courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We'll move on ahead and take a look at what's happening. Definitely some thunder and lightning down here across parts of Georgia toward Florida and off the coast of North Carolina. We're unlikely to see much of that. Our temperatures gradually will start to turn cooler this evening and overnight. Our winds after the front have passed us by will start to shift to westerly and then northwesterly. That's going to drag in some cooler air. So highs tomorrow will only be in the 50s and then in the 40s for Sunday. So big changes coming. After all that moves out, though, we do start to see warmer than normal temperatures again starting on Monday. Here's future cast, and we'll move it on out. Still expecting the potential for some rain to begin to move in around 5 to 6 p.m. around the time of the evening commute or dinner time. We'll see that sliding southward overnight, and then we begin to dry out a little bit around, say, mid-morning on Saturday. Here's lunchtime Saturday, and we should have a dry period for much of the daylight hours on Saturday. Around 4:30, 5 o'clock, though, once again, here comes the rain, and this is where we'll really start to add it up in the rain gauges. We could see an inch and a half to maybe 2 inches in some places Saturday night and into Sunday. We do have a small risk for flooding, so we'll certainly be keeping our eye on that. And then there's the wintry precipitation. You can see the purple areas back to our west. Sunday looks like it's going to be a snowy day in the mountains. We'll take a look at that in just a second. It's going to be a rainy and chilly day for us, and it is likely to last for most of the day on Sunday. Here's another look. We'll take a look at the big picture. Saturday morning, again, we're dry. We start to see the rain moving in Saturday evening. And then take a look back here. Sunday, we start to see everything changing over to snow in the mountains. They just updated the snowfall totals in the Boone area, looking at as much as 3 to 5 inches of snow from Saturday night into Sunday. And some of the higher elevations could see even more than that, meaning the ski resorts, the beach and sugar, and those places, Grandfather Mountain, could easily see well over 6 inches of snow during the day on Sunday. So winter wonderland there for us, a chilly rain. We don't have any real potential to see any wintry weather here. But here's a look at that chance of snow again. Well, it bumped to one whole 5%. Now, once you travel past Winston-Salem, there is the potential that you could run into a little bit of wintry weather, say past Wilkesboro, if you're headed that direction. And if you're headed down to Asheville, that's a small possibility as well. But as long as you're sticking around here or headed eastward on Sunday, it's just going to be rain. Total between, say, this evening and Sunday night into Monday morning is anywhere from right around 2 to maybe a little over 2 inches. And that's why we have that low risk for excessive rainfall on Saturday night into Sunday. So chilly, 53 Saturday, 46 degrees on Sunday. Again, looking at mostly dry during the day Saturday, but a chilly rain on Sunday. That means if you're headed out to the Super Bowl to a party on Sunday, you're likely going to be wet getting there. Our next chance of rain after Sunday comes on Thursday, but it also comes with warmer temperatures. Look at that, 74 again.
My soul felt like it like lifted out of my body because I've never been that close to a bird.
Coming up, students at a college near Atlanta are dealing with a nocturnal raptor. Why some say they'll just have to wait it out.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Raleigh police are expected to release body cam video today regarding the death of Darrell Williams while in police custody. Williams died after being shocked by a taser 3 times as police tried to arrest him. The video is expected to show a clearer picture of what happened at that scene.
A mother accused of concealing her dead child in a suitcase appeared in court today. Sinkel Davis is charged with a felony, concealing the death of a child. Police made the discovery earlier this week at a home in Roanoke Rapids. Davis is not charged with murder. Authorities are waiting to learn the child's official cause of death from an autopsy.
Governor Roy Cooper is at the White House right now. It's part of the National Governors Association winter meeting underway in D.C. Governors will speak with President Biden and Vice President Harris about opportunities for states to invest in infrastructure, manufacturing, and other key priorities.
College students in Georgia were quietly studying when an owl dropped from the chimney and started wreaking havoc.
Yeah, this happened at a library at a college campus near Atlanta. Tracy Amick Pierre has the story.
Like lifted out of my body because I've never been that close to a bird.
Agnes Scott Jr. Natalie Slaughter says she was studying at the library on Monday when this barred owl flew down the chimney, out the fireplace, and perched next to her.
I turned around and this owl's looking at me and I'm looking at the owl and the owl's looking at my friend and I like freak out.
The school immediately closed most of the library. At first, students had fun with it.
Someone had called it Owlgate and thought it was really funny.
Students created memes. Hundreds even voted on a name, Edgar Allan Poe. Then the shine wore off as the owl did what owls do, and the students grew tired of being locked out of the library. For days, experts have tried to use poles, lifts, even a baited spring-loaded cage with a pigeon and gerbil inside to get the owl out. But still, Edgar remains.
It takes a little while because the owls are not hungry. You know, they're hunters and they've got plenty of food in them right now. We try every scenario we can and try to pull a MacGyver out of our hat and get her done.
People love the owl, happy we named it, but we do kind of want it to go back home to the wilderness.
Just how did it get in there?
It looks so at home there.
Pet of the day time. It's quite a gem here. Jillian from the SPCA of Wake County spends her time silently meowing through the window with those big eyes, hoping to catch people's attention. First one to greet you at the door when you open it. Loves rubbing her big fluffy self along your legs. If Jillian came to the SPCA Wake when her family sadly got ill and could no longer care for her, if you want to know more about how you can get your hands on her, you can get information at spcawake.org. NBC News Daily on the way next, and your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Have a great Friday.
Local news doesn't stop here. Keep listening on the radio in Raleigh at 99.3 and in Durham at 96.5.